Recognize these words? You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time. You ain't never caught a rabbit, you ain't no friend of mine. Well, they said you was high class, but that was just a lie. Right? High class? You ain't never caught a rabbit, you ain't no friend of mine. Elvis sang that song and recorded it in 1956, a year before I was born. The scripture lesson for tonight, they proclaim that the gospel is going to the dogs. All dogs go to heaven if Jesus is their master and Lord. Going to the dogs. Who let the dogs out? More importantly, who let the dogs in? Read Romans 9, 10, and 11, and St. Paul will tell you that God in his grace has let the Gentile dogs into the kingdom, because that was his plan from the very beginning, to unite all things in Christ Jesus, who is master and who is Lord. All dogs go to heaven if Jesus is their master and Lord. The gospel is going to the dogs. Does that bother you? Huh. Does that include you? We're not Jews. We're Gentiles. And we only get saved because God in his mercy has grafted us onto the true vine of Jesus Christ. Only because we have been adopted through the sacrament of holy baptism into the family of Jesus. That is, sons and daughters of Abraham and Sarah, to whom the promise is given. Genesis 12. Or the prophet Isaiah, our first reading for tonight, announcing that the foreigners are going to come to Mount Zion. The foreigners are going to be included into the kingdom of God. But only by God's grace, and only through faith in Jesus Christ, who is your master and who is your Lord. Who let the dogs out? More importantly, who let the dogs in? Jesus did, and Jesus does. A story. A few years back, on one of those hot, crisp, summery days, when it was beastly hot, Martha Johnson and her good friend Linda said, "We need to go to the lake and cool off." And so they did. But it took a while to get there because they were following a whole bunch of motorcyclists. You know, the ones that are clad in leather and helmets, and their motorcycles are making lots of noise and stuff. And lo and behold, guess where they were headed? To the exact same lake. And so Martha and Linda said, "Well, wouldn't you know it? Those rascals, they got to come and mess up our day at the lake." Linda was in the water, and the beach, as you might have guessed on this hot day, was super crowded with people. And she was about chest high and enjoying the water. All of a sudden, she stepped off into a deep area. She went down, and she disappeared. Before the lifeguard could get to her, another swimmer in the area was able to dive down, get her, and bring her back to shore. Bring her there and make sure that Linda was okay. And once he discovered that she was okay, then he left. It wasn't too long after that that Martha and Linda decided, I guess it's time to head home. And as they're heading home, there is Martha, and she's watching, and right in front of her, walking toward one of those loud, noisy motorcycles, was one of these motorcyclists with, you know, the leather garb and the big helmet and stuff like that, and she's just rolling her eyes. You know what she's thinking. Misfits, outsiders, why in the world do they gotta be here on the same beach as us? Well, it was about at that moment as she was thinking it and rolling her eyes that suddenly, the gentleman turned around, and who was it? It was the men that had rescued and saved Linda from drowning. And Martha says, we do that all the time, don't we? We size people up, and we decide who's in and who's out, and who's good and who's bad. Who let the dogs out? More importantly, who let the dogs in? Does that bother you? Does that include you? Our gospel reading for tonight is a dog story. And if you've ever had a dog, I grew up where we had Lassie, a collie. And I grew up where when my kids were small, we had a Sheltie, a miniature collie. Now, my collie out on the farm was an outside dog. Lassie got table scraps, even though some veterinarians say you shouldn't do that. But every night, we put her in the barn where we knew she was safe. Now, when it came to Samson, the little Sheltie that grew up in our family, we had for about 15 to 17 years, he was a house dog. He was a family pet. It's important to keep these dog stories in mind if we're going to be able to wrap our heads around this beautiful gospel reading that we have before us tonight. Going to the dogs. Or one might even say, doggone it, huh? What in the world is Jesus doing in Tyre and Sidon? You know that area geographically? That's where the Phoenicians lived. That's where the Canaanites lived when Israel came into the Promised Land. All I have to tell you is 874 BC, and the king of Israel by the name of Ahab. And he married who? The princess from Sidon. A Phoenician princess by the name of Jezebel. And you know what Jezebel did? How she brought sexual immorality, and she brought idolatry, and Baal, and Asherah into the house of God, corrupting God's people, and leading them away from the faith. Ahab married Jezebel. And do you remember what was her ending? Thrown from a tower, trampled by horses, and what was left of her flesh, as the prophecy had predicted, she was eaten by dogs. When we hear this dog story tonight, when we hear that Jesus is going to the land of the Canaanites, Sidon and Tyre, we say, what in the world is he thinking? They're a bunch of dogs. Dirty, filthy, unclean dogs. So what is Jesus thinking? Did you notice what he's doing in this story? He's walking. The disciples are walking with him. And who's dogging them? This Canaanite woman is dogging him, right nipping at his heels. You can picture it, can't you? You've been there. You know what dogs are like. Well, in this case, she is howling and whining and crying out, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. Son of David, the messianic word for Jesus. Son of David, Lord, Master, have mercy on me. And you know what Jesus does? If you've had a pet dog and they start to beg, do you give them scraps from the table? Only if you want to keep feeding them every night at the table. Right? If a dog is begging, what do? You ignore them. So Jesus is ignoring this Canaanite woman. But the disciples, they've had enough of it. This howling, this whining, this barking. Jesus, do something. Send her away. She's annoying. And Jesus, quote, unquote, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And this Canaanite woman, she comes and she kneels. You can see it, can't you? She kneels at the feet of Jesus like a puppy dog. And she says, "Lord, help me." And what does Jesus say? He breaks the silence. He says, "You know, it's not a good idea to give the children's food to the dogs." And what does she say? Third time in our text, she says, "Lord, Master, even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from their master's table." You see what she's saying? She's kneeling. That's the posture of worship. She's at the feet of Jesus, and she has already called him Messiah, Son of David. She says, "I may be a dog. I may be a Gentile. I may be outside the covenant community, but you're my Lord and you're my Master." It's like she knows the scriptures. She knows the promises made to Abraham and Sarah, Genesis 12. She knows the promises made by God to the Gentiles. Israel is supposed to be a light to the nations, that all might come to know that Jesus is Lord and Savior. She's kneeling. She's worshiping. And Jesus says, well, if he were here today, he would say, "You know, don't you, that every 10 seconds there's a child somewhere in the world that is dying from a hunger-related disease? 17,000 children every day. You know that, right? You know that in the United States in the year 2011, that Americans spent $61 billion on pets? You know that in 2013, Americans spent $21.5 billion just on pet food? And every 10 seconds, one of God's children is dying of a preventable hunger-related disease? You know that? It's not good if you have limited resources to be spending them all on a dog and then having your children right in front of you starving to death. Common sense says, well, of course we understand that, Jesus. But what about the crumbs? Even dogs get crumbs that fall from their master's table. I'm a dog, and you're my master, and all I'm asking for is the bread that comes from your table. You see? Now, here's something that's really important to know about our gospel for tonight, because some people think that Jesus is just worn out and exhausted and he's having a bad day, and no one should call another person a dog. In Matthew 7, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Don't give what is holy to the dogs. Don't throw pearls before swine." The word is kuon. But in our gospel reading for tonight, Jesus uses the Greek diminutive. What that means is he's not talking about the stray wild dogs that are on the street, that are barking in the middle of the night, that are eating out of the garbage dump, those mongrels. No, he uses the diminutive, and it means household pet. The family dog. There's a difference. You know the difference. A wild, mangy dog that's out there ripping things and people apart compared to a family pet. When we had to put our Samson down after about 15, 16, 17 years, we held him as he was being put to sleep. My wife wept that night. I said, "What's going on?" She said, "I feel so guilty. You see the difference between a wild animal and a family pet?" Or like when my dad was killed And I had to go down to get his pickup truck from Elma, Wisconsin. It had been about 2 or 3 weeks since he had fallen to his death. And our dog Lassie on the farm in Wisconsin, I drove the pickup in, and Lassie just kept pacing back and forth and back and forth, and she was just whimpering like a baby, just crying. You know why? She knew that her master had been crucified. You see? In our gospel reading for tonight, we got to make sure we take a second look, a deep look at this text, and understand what's going on. Because in Matthew's gospel, he starts off with a genealogy. And do you remember who's in that genealogy in chapter 1? A whole bunch of dogs. Seriously. Gentiles that we would have written off, but God didn't write off. Like Tamar, the daughter-in-law of Judah, she had intercourse with her father-in-law. That's in the family tree of Jesus. Or like Rahab, the harlot at Jericho, she provided protection to Joshua's spies. That's in Jesus' family tree. Or like Ruth the Moabitess, the great-grandmother of King David. Or like the wife of Uriah the Hittite, Bathsheba. You know that story. The dogs are brought into the family tree of God, Messiah Jesus, so that all might be welcome in the family and all might be welcome at the table. But only in the family tree of Jesus. That's the non-negotiable. Jesus has to be master, and Jesus has to be Lord. And when he is, like that Canaanite woman, we can say, you've got that right, Jesus. I'm a Gentile. I've been grafted on as a wild olive shoot. I've been adopted in through baptism and became a daughter or a son of Abraham and Sarah. I don't deserve to be saved. I don't. But God in his mercy and grace is my master and my Lord. And he's adopted me and grafted me. And like that Canaanite woman who's been given great faith, or like St. Peter last week, who was a little faither, remember, in the water, sinking over his head? Whether you're a little faither or a great faither, there is salvation in no other name than Master and Lord Jesus, crucified and risen. That's why Paul says in Romans 10, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Confess and believe. Remember last week? The Word is near you. Jesus is the Word of God, and he's in Tyre and Sidon. He's being dogged. He's being dogged by Gentiles. And he finds great faith, even here tonight. We've got to be careful about the stereotypes we have, about who we think is a good risk or a bad risk, because everyone needs Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and Master. The year was 1921. Sing Sing Prison in the state of New York. And Louis Laws and his wife Catherine, they got a house that was 3/4 mile away from the prison because Louis became the warden. He was there for 20 years, and he and his wife Catherine changed the temperament of that institution. That penal institution was the home of the most notorious criminals, the most evil, wicked people you could imagine. And Catherine was a young mother with 3 little kids, and they said, you can't ever step inside that prison. And she said, I'm going to. So when they had a basketball team and they had a game in the gym, there was Catherine and there was her three little kids. And they said, "You're nuts. You're crazy. Those are evil men. They're dangerous." And Catherine said, "My husband and I are going to take care of them, and they're going to take care of us." Sixteen years later, Catherine was suddenly killed in a car accident. In between that time, she got to know the convicts and their stories. Like, one gentleman was blind. She said, "Do you read Braille?" He said, "What's Braille?" She said, "I'm going to teach you." So she did. And another one of the convicts was deaf and mute. And so she went and she learned sign language. And she taught this criminal how to communicate with sign language. And in 1936, when she died, it was the first day in 16 years that the warden, Lewis, hadn't been there. And so the assistant was on site. And it didn't take long for word to get around that Lewis wasn't there because his wife had been killed in a car accident. And as this assistant warden was walking around, he noticed that all of these prisoners, they were huddled together, almost like a pack of dogs. And they were just whimpering and crying. And he went over by the gate where they were at. And he realized that they were grieving the death of Catherine, who had been Jesus in the flesh to them. And so he looked at them and he said, "I'm going to open the door so that you can walk the 3/4 mile down there, because that's where Catherine was laying in a casket in the house." And they did. Every one of those prisoners. And the assistant warden said, "And you check yourselves back in tonight." And they went and stood in line and they paid their respects. And every single one of them checked themselves back in that night, because Catherine had been Jesus to them, the means of God's grace for them. "You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time. You ain't never caught a rabbit. But Jesus says, you're a friend of mine. No longer do I call you servants. A servant doesn't know what the master is doing. I have called you friends. Greater love has no one than this, that a person lay down their life for a friend." And that's what Jesus, Lord and Master, did for the Jews and did for the Gentiles. For family pets, like you and like me. Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs in? Does that bother you? Does that include you? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.